Okay, then let's try this. From osmosis, it's time for the TechNet, and we will be going through a roll call shortly. First of all, I would like to find out if there's any emergency traffic that needs to be passed at this time. Silence is good, as Gordon would say. Good evening, everybody that's out there, if there's anybody. My name is Gary, KD2DDK. If you just copied the quick conversation that I had with Noel, Gordon's not going to be with us tonight, and he left the last-minute instructions at around 6:30 as he was westbound on the interstate. So we're going to continue on without him, and help me along through this. And I would appreciate your help in talking slowly and clearly so I can scribble down all the questions and the names and the call signs. It's going to be an informal net, basically. We're going to go through a roll call, see who's out there, and if you have a question, a comment, or you're just going to be listening, I encourage the listeners to sign in anyway, or at least let us know you're there, so we can keep the discussion directed with everyone in mind, and you know, we can call on your area of expertise in case we need to. So with that being said, let's find out who's listening, I guess, or who's ready to talk. And to make it easy for me, I'm going to start with the ends.
This is N2OEL, one question.
N2OEL, Noel, with one question. Okay, hey. One person on the net.
N2CKD, just listening, no question.
N2ZVB?
November 2, Charlie, Kilo, Delta. N2CKD.
Okay, very good. N2ZKD, just listening. Any more N's? All right, let's move on to W's. And I'm, you know, I'm looking for all the W's, I guess. So, let's see who we got.
WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, New York, with a question.
W2NPR, Hector, no questions or comments at this time.
Whiskey 2, November, India Whiskey, good evening all.
Last one, could you please repeat, I don't write as fast as I listen.
Evening, Gary, W2NIW.
W2NIW, okay, Matt. Okay, any more W's?
Whiskey 2, Papa, Delta, Quebec, name Richard Clifton.
Okay, Rich, you're just, in for the listen.
I'm just here to listen in on the net. That's it. Thank you, sir.
No problem. Welcome. Still hunting down W's. They're going to win the lotto tonight.
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, with one comment.
Okay, Randy. We got you in there with a comment. Okay. Last call for the W's. You guys are winning with the most present anyway.
W2JEK, Don. None of the above.
Okay, Don. Very good. All right. More W's. All right. Time to move on. How about we do K's? We got any K's out there?
Kilo Delta 2, Delta Kilo Quebec.
Kilo Charlie 2 with Jim and Leonia, no questions, no comments.
Kilo Charlie 2, come on back with the last three. You just faded on me.
Kilo Charlie 2, Whiskey Golf Oscar.
Okay, very good. Whiskey Golf Oscar, we got you. Kilos.
KO2, okay. Bennett, no questions or comments at this time.
Okay, Bennett, very good. Still looking for K's.
KD2, DKQ. One comment.
KD2DKQ with a comment. Okay.
KD2AMI. No comments, no questions. Just listening.
Very good. Okay. I don't know. Come on, K's. Can we meet the W's for the attendance tonight?
KC2UNH, Paul Heinzen Park, none of the above.
Okay, Paul. Very good.
KC2ZMA Marco, excuse me, Gordon, Gary, there, and everybody in the net.
Hey, Marco, long time no talk. I'm glad to hear you there. Do you have any comments, questions, or are you just listening in?
Actually, I do have one question for you. I know you can answer it. Very simple. So I'll make it one question.
Okay, you're on the books. K's. Okay. Is there anyone else out there, latecomer at this time? All right, guys. We got the starting lineup all set and ready to go. I hope you bear with me tonight. I inherited this just because I happened to be talking with Gordon as he was westbound on 80. We're gonna do our best. And as I look at my list here, Noel has a question, and he's first on the list. So we can let him start the thing rolling. N2OEL.
May I suggest that you do the comments first, because they're usually quick and you get them out of the way.
Okay. All right. Noel is going to pass over the comments, and he's right. I'm forgetting the order here. All right. Let's run down through the order. I see Hector with a comment. W2MPR.
Gary, nope, not me. No, I have no comments or questions at this time. Over.
Okay, sorry, Hector. It might be my handwriting. Randy, WU2S.
Thanks, Gary. Yeah, just a very quick comment. In the last TechNet, or the one before, Jim K2ZO mentioned the success that he was having with an off-center fed dipole for 80 meters and 40. I think he was even using it on 10. And the key to making that happen is a 4-to-1 current balun, also known as a Guanella balun. And Jim offered some pointers as how to make that. I did some research. I looked up in the book Transmission Line Transformers by Jerry Sevick. He's got some very clear instructions how to build it. There's a lot of good stuff on the internet as well that offers some alternative means of building them, and it looks like it's real cheap and easy to do. Probably $20 to $25 tops, even if you have to buy all the parts brand new. So that's my next project. I want to thank Jim, because he's not on the net this evening, but it looks like a good project to do. And I'm hoping to have the balun made in the next 2 weeks. Unfortunately, it won't make it for field day, but it looks like a real fun and easy project to do. WU2S, back to net.
Okay. Thanks, Randy. I'm not the AHF guy just yet, I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there. Any comments or questions for Randy?
Kilo Delta 2, Delta Kilo Quebec, I have a comment.
Now go ahead, for Randy.
Yeah, I have an offset center 4-band antenna that I just put up last week. I bought mine, though, from Buckmaster. It has a 4-1 current balun, like I say. I got it 35 foot up in a tree at the back, and each end of it is about 20 feet. So one leg is 46 feet, the other leg is 23 feet, and that gives me 40 meters and 30, 20, 15 and 10, I think. I like it. It's working pretty well for me so far with just 10 watts. I've gotten Norway, Slovakia. I mean, it's working well. It's not working bad at all. Thank you, Nick.
Okay, very good. Was that the comment I had you scheduled for? You guys both talking about these dipoles? Or did you have a different comment, sir?
No, that was basically the comment, just that I put up my HF antenna finally, and I was actually looking for someone to help me test this on HF for ENVIS, that's all.
Okay, very good, very good, very good. Okay, I'm trying to read my handwriting. Did anybody else have a comment? I know we got a lot of listeners tonight and a couple questions, three, four questions, but I'm looking for any other comments. No other comments. All right. My mind is trying to remember. We usually have somebody in there from Barra with the calendar of testing and stuff, and I guess he's not around tonight for some reason. That's all right. We will move on. Before I get to the questions, any other guys come onto the net while we were taking comments and talking about these tri-band, dual-band dipoles?
W2JEK with a comment.
W2JEK, go ahead.
I run the test sessions, and we did have one on June the 14th, and had a good test session there. We will not be having any test sessions over the summer because the school was closed. However, in September, we will have a test. Our next test session will be in September. And I don't have a date picked out for that yet. Also, I will have one at the Ham Fest, which I believe is October 12th, I think. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. There's one at the Ham Fest, and then we will have another one on a Friday night in November. But those two dates for the September and November have not been chosen yet. And they have to be passed through the school people to make sure that there's no conflicts or schools being closed or something like that. So I won't publish anything until I get confirmation on that. But that's where it stands right now with VE testing. Thanks. Back to Matt.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All right. So you guys are taking a couple months off for the summer. Very good. Very good. Very good. And we missed the last test session, which was on the 14th last week. All right. So now I got that last comment in. That's the one I like to hear and keep track of. And there's no other new sign-ins.
AJ4WD Mobile.
AJ4WD Mobile. Comments, questions, or just listening?
No comments, no questions at this time. Just listening.
Okay, fine. Thanks for signing in. If you had a comment or a question, I would have liked to take that first just in case you drive out of range by the time we get to you. But if you're listening, we're all set. All right, Noel. Good idea. Thank you for running through the comments first. And now we're back to you with that question of yours. N2OEL.
It's a question that's been bouncing in my head for a while. We tried a antenna, Steve, W2W, tried antenna from the Hawaii Radio Club. It's $44 delivered, I think $36 as a kit, at the delivered to you price. It's an interesting little kit. Comes with 30 feet of wire, and basically, you use at least 25 feet of coax. You feed the thing as the vertical, so you just run the coax over to this little box, throw the wire up in a tree, and you're on the air. It's meant for portable operation. What's nice about it is, if you're operating from a campground, you don't have a lot of space to put a horizontal antenna. You're constrained by the size of your particular camping site, which might be as small as 50 feet by 30 feet. I mean, not big. And, might have a tree in the right spot. So this thing you throw up in any available tree or put up a pole, bingo, you're set. Now, Steve didn't like the 30-foot one. He used, I believe, 54, and 84. I was happy with those. I've got it, it's a 91 bow, and it uses the outside of your coax as the other part of the antenna. So you have an end-fed antenna, and it seems to work reasonably decent. Now, I was going to try to build one that could use my ALS-4600 on, which would give out about 400 watts to it. If I tried to use the bound from the Hawaii Radio Club, let me drop it for a second. Well, what happened is, I would burn it out, because it's not rated for that. So, I got some bigger cores. Now, what happens is, I had a commercial one that I bought that we took apart for the sake of seeing what's inside. And it had been wound with common household wire. They call it THNN wire, 600-volt rating. And it was a surprise. A lot of people use expensive Teflon-coated wire, which is like $2 a foot. Seems like go to Home Depot and get this stuff for 20 cents a foot. So my question is, how does anybody have any opinion? And if I go and get, you know, red, black, and white wires from Home Depot, wide abound with it, should I be using 14-gauge or 12-gauge, or maybe even 16-gauge? And should I be worried about the fact that the insulation is only 600 volts rated, which probably means it has a safety factor of obviously 1,200 volts actual? But would I be worried if I was running 400 watts into that thing? Because there might be some really high voltages produced at the end of it as I'm feeding the antenna. Back to that. This is N. Julio.
Okay. And I almost followed it, but not quite. And like I said, I'm not the HF guy yet. So I am hoping that somebody out there has some comments or helps on it that... just playing with this stuff. I know just from tonight, Randy and KD2DKQ are HF guys, so maybe they can comment on it.
KD2DKQ, with a comment?
Go ahead.
Yeah, with 400 watts into that kind of an aerial fed directly from the radio, I'd be worried about breaking the FCC limits on RF. Because you're going to have a pretty big RF signal right down at your radio, because it sounds like you're not running, you're using the coax as part of the antenna back to you as the counterpoise for the vertical you're putting up. So that'd be what I'd be worried about, rather than how big your wire is. Because like, I've run antennas like that on my own rig, granted only with 10 watts, but I have like a wire vertical with that very thin, like 14 SWT, so a small wire, and a similar wire as a radio counterpoise off it. That works pretty well for me, I mean, once the lengths are right. But I run that with a body pole Versity, and then I have coax from the feed point back to my radio, and there's an RF valve, and on the coax stuff, anything coming back on the outside, the coax just really to keep it efficient. That's what I'd be worried about. I'd be more worried about getting RF burns off the feed point back to the radio. Back to next.
Julio.
Go ahead.
Well, what you do is you run your length of coax, whether it be 25 feet, 50 foot, or whatever, and you put one of these RF chokes. I happen to have a couple of them from Radio Works, which is essentially a length of coax inside a tube that has a whole bunch of ferrite beads on it to prevent the RF from coming down the outside of the coax. At that point, you put a short length, 10 feet, 6 feet, whatever, to your radio. Otherwise, it could be very interesting. When I put this thing up, I put an antenna on my RV. I actually went to Palmer Engineering, that's the website you have, and I got their BA-8 choke kit, which is basically six big ferrites. And we put it over, actually Gene, KJI, assembled it, He assembled 9913. I believe he did about, not sure, it was 35, 40 feet of coax. They measured it. He put the beads over and then soldered the ends on and made the 9913 weathertight. I had it installed by a professional place called Gerber RV that does a lot of TV trucks, and so they know how to do it properly. And what we did is we brought the antenna wire off of the tuner that actually sits back on the ladder, and about 6 foot in, we put that those six beads so that RF won't feed back on the RV. And again, with portable operation, Mr. Joyce has built one fantastic one for me that I'll be using to stop the RF from coming back and burning me. So that won't be a problem. Back to that, this is Ed Julio.
Okay. Any other comments on Noel's original question? Or from the the 2 meter guys, if they know what you're talking about, Noel.
Yeah, my comment here is that my buddy pole is similar in that it comes with RF chokes on the coax at the feed point to stop the RF coming back. But that seems to be only safe above 20 megahertz or 20 meters. On 40 meters, they insist that you use a TRSB, which is basically a current balance, to make sure the RF doesn't come back. So maybe the choke you're talking about is a pretty big one, but the one that comes with the buddy pole isn't sufficient to stop the RF coming back on the coax once you go to 40 meters. Back to Ned.
Okay, Noel?
Actually, the choke that I have is rated down to 80 meters. And you put two together if you want to go to 160 meters. So it has at least 2,000 ohms impedance on the outside of the cable at 80 meters. You can go to Radio Works. I forget what the exact model number is. It is fairly substantial. It comes in a piece of, I guess it's 1.5 inch pipe, and there's a SO239 coax connector at each end. So you'd run your cable up to this thing. Weighs about 2 pounds, so I don't know what's inside. Mr. Joyce can describe that to you. He's on the net. And back to net. This is Ed Julio.
82 again. That sounds a lot more substantial than the one that comes in a buddy pole. I mean, the one in the buddy pole is like 6 or 7 small chokes on the outside of the coax. So if it's that big of a choke, then yeah, it's probably fine down to whatever.
Okay. Any
Okay.
Sort of pause there a little bit. Wait for somebody else to come in, maybe wanting to comment.
WA2UMP with a comment.
W-A-U-U-M-T. W-A-U-2. Oh, boy. Okay, go ahead with the comment.
Okay, this is W-A-2-U-M-T. A question, one minor point to watch out when you purchase wire. Very often, they if you read the fine print, what you're getting is copper-cladded aluminum wire. So be careful. A pure copper wire is always better than copper-clad. So just something to... keep an eye out. Not all wire, not all quote copper wire is created equal. Make sure it's all copper. Back to Nick.
Good point, Jim. Good point. I don't think we had the right answer for your final question, but we got some interesting comments on the antenna. But when it comes down to the wire, I don't think we solved it.
W2NPR.
AJ4WD.
Okay, one at a time, guys. It's W2NPR first.
Gary, just a comment on the copper-clad wire. the trouble with solid copper wire is it doesn't have the physical strength to hold up to all weather conditions. So what you want is copper-clad steel. which is available from DX Engineering and other various dealers. You can get solid copper clad or stranded copper clad. Either one is fine. That wire will not stretch. If you bought a roll of THHN stranded wire from Home Depot or Lowe's or your local hardware store, over time that wire will stretch and will have the potential to break. The copper clad is steel, whether it's solid or stranded, will not soak through into the steel, which will cause it to rust and your antenna to fail. So that's when you're making dipoles and you don't want to use insulated wire, or you don't have to use it, that's the best way to go. Insulated wire, of course, would be the best, because if it rubs up against the tree and the tree bark gets wet, it won't have as much of an effect on it as if it were uninsulated. So that's just my comment there. Back to you, Gary, W2NPR.
Very good comments. Thanks, Hector. Okay, and other station. I forgot who you were.
This is Rachel, AJ4WD. I think, Noel, you were asking about the, using a THHN to wind the 9-to-1 balance. The THHN, because it's not a whole lot of strands, I forget, was it 9 strands of copper? It's going to be very difficult to bend and twist in and around the core. And the other thing is, I think THHN at RF is probably going to have a limit of around 200 watts. So after that, it's going to start to melt. So you're not going to be able to do a very good job with your balance if you're using a THHN for 400 watts. 200 watts or less, not a problem. But again, it's going to be a little bit difficult to wind that 9-to-1 because of the few strands. That's why they're using the Teflon. One, because it has a higher rating. And number two, you're talking like 24 strands of copper wire that has been clad with silver. So it's a lot softer, a lot easier to bend around. Back to that.
Thank you, Rachel. All right, the clouds are clearing on my end. How you doing with this, Noel?
Actually, since my core is 3 inches diameter, it's a really big core. I was thinking of using solid 12-gauge to wind it with. I was just worried about the insulation breaking down. I think I could do, I think they want 10 or 12 turns. I think I could do that with a 3-inch core. The core should be enough to handle the power. And don't forget, it's sideband. It's not like it's AM. So 400 watts sideband is approximately equal to 100 watts AM, or 100 watts if you had the key down continuously. Okay, back to that. This is Antonio.
Okay, Rachel, anything on Noel's 3-inch core?
Well, a 3-inch inside diameter core is definitely going to make it easier to make those windings. But the issue there still is the RF, and you're going to get pinholes coming through at that 400 watts. You may want to take some Teflon tape and wind the core so that those pinholes start to come through. You're not getting arcing into the core. What I've also seen done is take some sleeving and put that around, so you've got the standard PVC, then you've got the oil impregnated sleeve on the outside, then you can have one more sleeve of, let's say, the
shrink wrap, you know, shrink sleeving on top of that, and that would give you probably enough insulation to prevent the pinholes coming through at RF.
JK.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this thing is liable to catch fire, and I suggest, Noel, what you do is try this thing out at home with power, and if you have a little more than the 400 watts, you would try it with, say, 500 or 600 watts. Just see how the thing behaves, because you don't want to go into a campsite and have this thing catch fire. Even with a fire extinguisher, you might have a mess on your hands. So try it at home first, maybe, and see how well it behaves before you take it out in the wilderness. Back to that W2JK.
Yeah, thanks, Don. Yeah, good idea to try it at home with the fire extinguisher standing by. Even step it up. Start at 100 and work your way up in power. Okay. Noel, anyone else on this question before we move on to the next one?
Yeah, I never considered winding the cord. That's a good idea. Try it out. This is Ventolio.
Okay, all right. So, question one down. Question two I have is WA2UMP. Jim, you had a question.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. Occasionally I'll operate from the car. Usually I'm at home, but occasionally I operate from the car, and I have a mobile antenna with a magnetic mount that has the thin coax, the RG174. Works pretty well despite that thin coax, but I always open the window and take the coax and lead it through and leave the window just open a little bit. I'm afraid to close the door despite the fact on the coax, despite the fact that there's a little bit of foam in the door frame itself. But it's awfully inconvenient when you're driving long miles to have the window ajar just a little bit. So I'm wondering what other people do. Do you just close the car door on the coax and take your chances, or leave the window open? With that, back to net.
Something I can relate to. I use mag mounts on occasion. Right now, I probably have about three on the roof. but I don't use them for any big transmit. Small 2.3 gig stuff and a scanner antenna. But what I do is I just plain run them through the most least used door and right around the rubber molding and in the least used door. I did try and run them through the hatchback in the back because that gets used even less, and the gaps are a little bigger, believe it or not. But the cable came up a little short for my doings. But like I say, they're not really that thick and there's no power through them. Anybody else have any comments on that?
W2JK.
Go ahead.
W2JK. Yeah, what I do was I use RG. I have an antenna with, I think it's an RG58. Cable on it, and I sort of snake it through the back door. I have a four-door sedan. I use least used door, the left rear door. I sort of snake it through the through the foam, and I have it so that the door, there's a gap between the front door and the back door, and I have it so it goes through that gap so that the doors don't actually clamp down on it. So once you find that spot, it should work for you.
Yeah, I do that all the time. Right now, I put a fender mount on my car in the middle of the winter, and I didn't feel like crawling around looking for a place in the firewall in the weather. So I ran it through the hollow fender and around the door hinges and up into the under the dash that way. There's always cracks and crevices and things that aren't going to compromise the wire. That's the way I feel. You just find them. Anybody else want to help routing mag mount antenna RF into the car?
W2 Thomas.
W2NIW, Matt, very low. Step up a little bit and then go ahead and make the comment.
Okay, hopefully this is a little bit better. W2NIW returning, Gary, thank you. For getting the coax through the back with my particular car, is a large trunk. So what I do is I take up the side molding that holds the carpet down that runs along the passenger door and then through the back onto the rear passenger door, and I run the coax cable just under the carpet, just under that molding strip. And from there, under the back seat, and right through the back, behind the back seat, into the trunk. Some cars, my car in particular, there's a lot of large ways to put the coax through right into the trunk. And then if you look at the trunk lip, where you close your trunk, which would be a good thing to start with, and maybe test with a piece of coax first, a lot of lips have it so that you can fit the coax through there to a lip mount, or right around to a mag mount on the back. When the trunk lifts all the way up, I'm able to take the mag mount off if I want and push it through the opening, and that'll drop right into the trunk, so there's no problem with that. That's just my particular car. I use mag mounts and a lip mount for that procedure, and it works very well. Back to you, Gary.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Matt. Now, you run the wire down the back and through the trunk. There's some wide gaps there. Yeah, everybody's found their wide gap for their particular vehicle, I guess. Anybody else have a different wide gap or a different way to run a mag mount wire? How about a sunroof? Anybody ever try a sunroof? Okay, we got some silence. Any thoughts, Jim? Any wide spots on the car that you know of?
Okay, thanks for the suggestions. Okay, to summarize, what I hear is everybody's running it through either the door or the trunk, and the secret is to look for the widest possible gap. I don't know of any, because I've never looked before, but that's certainly what I'll do. I have a trip coming up to Cape Cod, and would like to put that mag mount on the roof and run it in and keep the window closed on that trip to Cape Cod. Anyway, thanks for the suggestions, and we'll look for the widest gap.
W2NPR.
W2NPR, Rich, go ahead.
What's the cable that's on the mag mount?
It's the very thin stuff. It's RG174. It's a diamond antenna, standard 17.5-inch dual band. Go ahead.
Oh, that's the 26-gauge center conductor. Oh. You're not going to have any trouble closing that cable through the weather stripping of the door. What you don't want to do is push the, you don't want to pinch it. And that coax is so thin that you're not going to have that issue, even if it was fed with RG58. Just bear in mind that if you ever do have a mag mount with RG58 and you take the cable in the top of the door, rainwater will be more prone to follow that cable because of the larger diameter, and it will drip inside the car. But 174, you've got no worries about having to damage that cable whatsoever, unless some part of your vehicle seals metal to metal, or like the old wood doors, when a wood door would close against the trim that's nailed to the jamb. There's no space there, not even for RG174. But if that's what you have, you really have nothing to worry about. Back to Ned.
Good catch. I'm busy worrying about how things are going, and I didn't even realize the fact that was nice thin stuff, which is basically what I have on my car with the three antennas running through the different doors. I just got the thin stuff, and I just, it doesn't even put a dent in the rubber seal.
Yeah, a lot of the lip mounts from Diamond and Comet and the like, that's the reason why they have that small, I don't know, it's probably 12 or 16 inches lead in from the mount into the trunk or into the door. Then it
progresses into RG58 to go to your radio. That's simply to keep, you know, very, very minimal, if at all, any water from getting past the weather strip. But, yeah, that cable, it won't even make a dent in there. So, unless you plan on washing the car 2-3 times a day, there's no issue. You're not going to have any issue with that cable.
Okay, sounds good.
Other party?
Okay, I thought I heard a double in there. One last round for Jim's mag mount here. Any other comments? Okay, was there another station way out there? I got nothing but static. Jim, you happy with just running that thin cable through the easiest way then? And he's right, yeah, my cables don't even make a dent in the rubber molding.
Yeah, all good, very good suggestions. I never liked the thin coax because it's so lossy, but this is one advantage of having the RG-174. So thank you for all the good comments. We'll look for the widest gap and not worry too much about it. Back to Ned.
Very good. Yeah, and one last thought on my end. Run the wire underneath the molding and underneath the carpet and keep it out of the way of the clumsy passengers that climb in and out of the back seat.
Okay, well noted.
Okay, I hope I'm keeping this in order here, and I'm running down through the list. And I see KC2DMA. Marco had a question. Marco, you out there?
Hi, this is KC2DMA. Am I making the repeater there, Gary, okay?
Yeah, you're in. A little low on the audio, but go ahead.
KC2DMA here. Thanks, Gary. Very simple question, Gary. I know you helped me out with this before. I'm trying to remember the 442-000 repeater. You helped me program as my radio and actually lost the teal tones and all that. But I believe, if I'm correct, I didn't program to the radio yet. It's 156.7, I believe, the TL tone. I'll be giving that information there. And I believe it's the Wayne repeater, WA2SQQ. I know you helped me program it to the radio, and I lost it. I was messing around with the Chinese radio, and I lost the all that information there with the TL tone, stuff like that there. Back to that there, Gary. Back to you.
Okay, Marco. Yeah, you got the receive out, your receiver, the repeater output fine, and you got the first three digits of the CCCSS right. And it is, yeah, okay, I was just double checking, I didn't want to give you any wrong information. It is 156.7 on the tone.
Gary, it's the Wayne, it's located in the Wayne, right? This repeater or so? And what they call WA2SQQ. I'm just Googling it, try to figure it out by Googling it. I believe it's in Passaic County or so there. But that's correct. I appreciate that, Jay Gary. And I appreciate that. Give me the info, and I kind of lost it through the radio there, and I couldn't remember it there. But I appreciate that, Gary. Back to that, KC2DMA.
Okay, yeah, very good. Yeah, those are the call letters that are currently on it. It's on the border of Patterson, Wayne, and Haledon. It's just right at the trifecta border there. That's as close as we're going to get from the operators. But it's a decent coverage on 70 centimeters. And as a matter of fact, that's where that's where I hang out because it's easy to hit with a portable.
Hey, Gary, thanks. Appreciate that. And appreciate your help there. Back to Matt.
Okay, Marco. Very good, very good. Okay, let me see. Oh, look at... Rachel, you have also had a question? You're up. No, I take that back. She was mobile, and she didn't. All right. Anybody else have a question? Did I miss anybody? Any comments? It looks like we're going quiet within the hour. That's not bad. You guys took it easy on me tonight.
One comment there, Gary. KC2DMA.
KC2DMA. Go ahead, Marco.
I just wanted to comment with the mag mount there, Jim was talking about there. And I had a mag mount in my car. I have a Corolla, and it was a 2005 Corolla, and I had a mag mount, coax it has on it. Wasn't too thick. It was one piece, basically. And I had it actually mag mount on the trunk with a wire, just smacked it right on there. And it had a little loop, and I had it right in the edges, right inside the trunk. So every time you open it, close the trunk, it just slammed right on top of the wire. It would ding it a bit and rub on it. They actually rubbed the paint a little bit. I had it out there for about a year and a half. Never broke on me, and it worked just fine. Until I decided just to put a hole in my roof, and because it was getting annoying in the back with putting things in the back. And the antenna would hit the trunk, and people would move it and stuff like that. But it actually worked out really good, the mag mount, though. I really didn't have an issue with it at all, so I decided just to get rid of it and just put basically a hole in the roof, and it was a 19-inch bang mount antenna, 2 meters and 440. But it worked out great though, no problem. I just slapped it right on it, and it had some more marks on the insulation after a while. But it's always good to check it all the time. And, always put a mag mount with wire. Always good to inspect the wire, I guess, maybe 2 months or a month or so. Make sure it doesn't cut all the way through or so, wherever you mount it on, or slam the door on, or the trunk. But very good. Back to that. KC2ZMA.
And if you're going to slam, some 58 in a door at a bad spot, it's still going to last a year, And by then you should have improved your antenna situation. That's another interesting point. More comments. And before we go, Ned's going to have a question or two. Okay. I have something for everybody out there. I got involved with the New Jersey Red Cross with an assignment of rearranging their frequencies and channels in case they there's a flood disaster, another Sandy or something, because there was some communications problems in the past. And if, my request to everybody out here is, if you know of the specifics on your local repeater, Latlon, antenna height above ground on the tower, type of antenna as far as the dB rating, ERP and things like that. If you could give me an email, I'm doing coverage plots, and it would be very helpful in my volunteer work with the Red Cross.
N2JEK.
N2JEK, go ahead.
Hi, this is W2JEK. Yeah, I did work with the Red Cross in the aftermath of Hurricane Irene, and we used the 7-9 repeater as one repeater, and there was another one out in Morris County, I think it was the Morris County Emergency Repeater. I was riding with a couple of guys who were disaster evaluators, one guy from Missouri and another guy from Ohio.
I was really riding there in case there was any area where the cell phones weren't working. The guys were able to make it with the cell phone, but I was there, and they made it from several of these sites with either one repeater or the other. We had both radios in the Ridgewood Red Cross. Is that what you're talking about, the Ridgewood Red Cross? Over.
Well, the Red Cross office in Fairlawn is like the HQ for a number of other satellites. Ridgewood was one of them. And, yeah, I am I'm working on coverage plots for mobile and portable. and, you know, I'm doing some of my own road testing and stuff like that, too. But I would really, you know, I have computer modeling programs that will model different coverages. My biggest problem is I really don't know the area, and then I have to know, well, gee, is that on a tower? Is it on a rooftop? You know, they got a 6 dB stick, a 10 dB stick. You know, I'd like to get the modeling as close as possible. And I don't know what coax is running to it, so I don't know the ERP of it. Even if you know the guy that would know it, an email to kd2ddk@gmail.com would be greatly appreciated. Okay, silence. Last round, comments, questions, listening. And with that, maybe, Noel, if you didn't fall asleep, you can help me with the thanks. I believe it's Bergen County Repeater Association.
No, this is Chestnut Bridge. And it's not Bergen County. It's nothing to do with the PCSMA.
My apologies. Okay. I definitely thank them for use of the net. I thank everybody that's still hanging around, that they were so patient with me, and I'm glad that survived almost a whole hour. I'm happy. Nobody cursed at me or anything.
This is K2AMI.
Go ahead, K2AMI.
Contacts. I know the Houston Richard Peter South there has their site up at Alpine, but K2ETN is pretty much informative on that. I don't know his other than his call sign, phone numbers or email addresses, but K2ETN would be good for the Chestnut Ridge Club. Do you have that in your list?
I'm sure I have the repeaters. That's the first time I've heard that letters, and I'm going to see if I can find him. Yeah, there's a number of other factors involved. A lot of these repeaters, as we all know, are, you know, number one, you know, the local Aries Races groups, the local OEM offices and stuff, you know, so Red Cross is down on the pecking order. And what I'm looking at is using the coverage maps to determine which would be the primary repeater for any given area. And in my business, I like at least three backups that cover the area. Even down deeper than that, I'm looking at primary flood zones and things like that on the rivers, so we know ahead of time and have the radios programmed up ahead of time. But thanks for the contact.
Continuing, Gordon is the trustee for this repeater, W2TTT, so he might also have some valuable information. I'm sure you can contact him. Now, on the 7-9 repeater, the most informed guy would be W2IP. That's Paul, W2IP. And he is frequently at the, in fact, he's the treasurer for the Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club, the Fairlawn Emergency Service Club. So Friday night at Fairlawn, you can run into Paul.
Very good. Yeah, I know Paul. As a matter of fact, I was going to ask him about the one on the Fairlawn route. So I'll just add the 7-9 one to him also. Is helping me with this project along with his son. There are a number of different facets to it. And the first list of repeaters I got and stuff came from Gordon's son.
I think you're on the way. Just in general information, I was involved with raising about a 25 or 30 foot tower at the Red Cross building a couple of years ago. and we have 2 meter and 440 capability from one of the rooms in the Red Cross building to an outside tower that has pretty good coverage. That's the Red Cross building up on Goffle Road. Not Goffle Road, that's, what is that road? Oh my gosh. Not too sure the name of the street. It's not Goffle Road, though. The one in Ridgewood, the big red brick building in Ridgewood has got a tower that I was involved with installing.
Godwin.
That's good. Okay.
Right away, I'm busy writing. I've never been to the Ridgewood office, and it's good information. You have 2 meter 440 capability, and there's a 30-foot tower there.
Try that.
Thank you very much. It all goes into it breaks a big spreadsheet, believe me.
There it is, W2JEK.
W2JEK.
The 7-9 repeater is actually two repeaters. One, the primary repeater, was on the Bergen Regional Hospital. There's another one at a location in Franklin Lakes, which is a backup machine. It uses a different PL tone. Sometimes some people can bring them both up at the same time, which can be confusing. But another thing that I have to think about with all this is emergency power, and whether these people do have emergency power during a power failure. I think if you talk to Ron, the B2GAI, he can fill you in on some of that information. Back to that.
Yeah, emergency power is definitely a thing. And, you know, that was mentioned before, and I don't think I put that on my checklist to ask about the repeaters. I was more interested in height and tower and ERP and lat long. Very good. The CTCS tones on
7-9.
141.3 is on top of
the
hospital.
That, I'm not too sure of the PL tone up at Franklin Lakes. Maybe Bennett would know that. I heard Bennett out there. What's the PL tone at Franklin Lakes, Bennett?
Evening, Tony. KO2 OK. Franklin Lakes is 162.2.
Thank you, Bennett. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, I have them on the list, and they are definitely going to be plotted.
So you work. I do know that the Red Cross in Ridgewood had a flood map of the Bergen County area and Bergen Passaic County area, indicated the flood zones and the flood maps and so forth. Do you have that equipment?
From Fairfield I have access to a lot of that stuff, I've only been there a few times to even look at that.
Well, you're on the way. Good luck with your work.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it, we're good for the evening.
Listening.
This is KD2DZR listening.